It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, SiriusXM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Slinky Game Plus. How you doing? Glad you could stick around with us this morning. Jason Kahn is here as well. Jason, I'm laughing because Drew Dinsick, who's our next guest, I haven't seen him yet, but you guys immediately behind the glass, there's multiple people behind the glass. Actually, there's two. It's Jason and Ann. And as soon as they got to see Drew, they're like oohing and eyeing. Like, oh, wow. So what was this new setup for Drew? Let's talk a little NFL with one of the co-hosts of the Deep Dive podcast.
The Unveiling.
Deep Dive with Andy and the Whale. That's Andy Molitor and Drew Dinsick. Drew's the Whale, powered by BetSmarts. Nice logo you got there. Look at that. Very nice. It's Drew Dinsick, everybody. How you doing, Drew?
I'm doing swell. Yeah, no, they were commenting on the background, and I next week we'll get a nice little VSiN logo here on the TV and do a little brand rep for VSiN. I love this.
Yeah,
this is fantastic. Great to be on with you guys. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving holiday. I definitely appreciate everything you do for the industry. So, hope everybody's doing well.
Well, we appreciate you having you as part of the VSiN family, man. We appreciate that as well. Listen, we always start with the Monday night game, and happy Thanksgiving to you as well, by the way. I hope yours was good. Monday night, Eagles, they lose to the Seahawks by 6, cosmetic in nature. The Eagles were dreadful for most of that first half. And I led into the commercial by saying, you know, let's find out where in his bottom five Drew has the Eagles. But I was actually being misleading there because not only do you not have them in your bottom five, I think they're just outside your bottom 10. Does last night's game, do you anticipate that changing your power rankings on them?
I redid everything this morning, and they fall one slot. Realistically, it's their defense that's keeping them buoyed. You could say that defensive performance they showed last night was impressive. Honestly, Slay gets destroyed by DK Metcalf, but he's been doing that to good cornerbacks around the league all season, so it wasn't entirely shocking. But other than that, that defensive line played up. They were aggressive. They got after Russell Wilson early and often in that game, made their sack total. Couldn't come up with the key turnover. That was kind of the one thing that's undone the Seahawks offensively all season, is if you can get into Russell Wilson's head a little bit, get him to turn over the ball once or twice, you can really start to turn the tide against this team. And the Eagles couldn't manage a turnover, but boy, did they get some key stops early, two key fourth downs. And right now I have the Eagles defense playing as the number 11 unit in the NFL. There's really only one comp, and that's Denver. Denver's defense I have playing as number 9 right now. Two comps. Your Washington football team.
Yes.
Number 6 defense in the NFL currently by my rankings.
Don't you sleep
what
on
a unit.
Washington. Yes.
What a unit.
They were
Chase Young not getting enough love for what an amazing season he's having.
They were flying around the field on Thursday against Dallas. The thing with Washington, it's so interesting. By the way, Darius Slay, on some of those plays he was beat yesterday, he was all over DK Metcalf.
You couldn't
have stopped the film and have Russell Wilson placed it in DK Metcalf's hands any better. But Washington, that's the thing, right? Chase Young was a DeMatha kid. DeMatha is one of these, nationally known basketball programs. Chase Young played football there at Hyattsville, Maryland. So it was never a doubt. Washington was going to pick Chase Young. That was their guy. It's just such a funny position to be in because you got to love the defense if you're a Washington fan or if you have tickets, future tickets on Washington or season win overs, I should say. I don't know if anybody has futures tickets. A couple people probably do. You love the defense. You're starting to love. You're certainly in love with Terry McLaurin, Antonio Gibson showing up. But the quarterback of the future is not on the roster, so it's kind of hard to get like too hyped about it.
I 100% agree. I mean, there are at least 5 quarterbacks worth drafting in the first round coming out of this next draft. So you're not putting yourself in too terrible a position here if you do push this roster and try to steal the NFC East. And honestly, it's a loser's game really for whoever does win that division.
Yes, it is.
You're not getting the home playoff revenue that you would have gotten in years past, which is sort of the bonus of making the playoffs.
And you get at best the 19th pick in the draft as opposed to a top 10 pick.
Yeah, exactly. So it's this could be a weird reverse tank to see who ends up winning the NFC East. But yeah, the Washington football team is very live. They have some stability with Alex Smith at quarterback. He wasn't the reason they won on Thanksgiving, but he certainly didn't lose them the game, and that's important. I would say that their schedule coming up is not super favorable, although they do get a nice little situation here where Pittsburgh's going to have to prepare for them on a short week where they get basically a second bye built into their schedule because they're coming off a Thursday and they're not going to have to play till what, Tuesday. So it's going to be, they're Steelers Washington scheduled for Monday currently, I guess. But even still they get an extended rest from Thursday to Monday, whereas the Steelers are going to have to go Wednesday to Monday. So that's a nice little situational spot for them. But this is pretty clearly going to be their toughest test in terms of offenses faced. Some of my, I do adjust for strength of opponent when I put together rankings. But Washington has faced one of the easier schedule of opposing offenses so far this season. So they've been playing better than sixth, but they really haven't been tested yet. So I think Pittsburgh's probably going to be too tough for them. You never know, though.
It's Gil Alexander. It's Drew Dinsick. You can follow Drew at whale_capper on Twitter. It's a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. SiriusXM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, and Game Plus. Talking NFL this past week. Looking forward to next week. By the way, for those who wanted to know, because I did mention, hey, what are Drew's top? What are Drew's bottom five? Let's flash them up on the screen. And I think your bottom three are kind of unassailable, right? Like the Jets are worst, and as you said via text with a bullet, which says everything. Jacksonville is second worst. They've only won one game, the very first game of the season. And I think Cincinnati, sans Joe Burrow, is probably third worst. Where it gets interesting, a little bit, is Dallas is 29th, fourth worst. And Denver, and this is not the Kendall Hinton version of Denver, right? This is like even before this weekend version of Denver is fifth worst.
Yeah. Yeah. This is it's a testament to how I do my rankings in terms of weighting offense over defense, really. Dallas's offense 29th. Denver's offense 31st. These off passing offenses just can't get out of their own way this season. And it's really, it's limiting them pretty substantially. And really the key moment, the key play, the key aspect of the Dallas Washington game on Thanksgiving was Zach Martin getting injured on the offensive line. He's kind of the only key part of that unit that has kept them together. And what you've seen from Andy Dalton is a Jekyll and Hyde, where if he has a clean pocket, he can operate with the weapons he has, he can matriculate the ball down the field effectively. But when he is facing interior pressure, especially, he turtles. And Zach Martin goes out of that game, and it was pretty much over for that Dallas offense. So key to watch as far as we head into week 13 and beyond, if Zach Martin is going to be available or if he misses extended time, because that's really maybe more important even than how you rate the quarterback situation in Dallas.
Your top five, for those curious, KC, okay, Pitt, okay, no problems there. Unassailable. Green Bay third. I don't think a lot of people would quibble with that. Seattle fourth, Tennessee fifth. Seattle fourth with that defense is interesting.
Russell Wilson elevates the team to a degree that I think you have to give them consideration as fourth. And, they're never going to win easy. They're never going to make it look pretty as from last night's specific game. And for that reason, I don't think you can ever really confidently lay the points with this team if it's over a field goal, no matter the opponent. That's kind of what we've learned from the last couple of years, and their coaching is holding them back. But specifically related to the defense, over the last four games, they've played substantially better than they played over the first half of the season. And it's worth, a lot of the folks in the analyst community will say this. This isn't new or especially controversial opinion here. But it's very difficult to take defensive statistics from the first half of the season and project how that defense will perform over the second half of the season, because it reflects so much of the opposing offenses they faced. It is so, it's so volatile in terms of who's available in any given game. And now that they're really coming into full strength and with the secondary. You know, they're getting some guys back healthy. And now that Carlos Dunlap is really helping them generate a pass rush for the first time all season, over the last 3-4 weeks, they've been fairly strong. And, you know, they were leaky at times against Philadelphia last night, most notably in the, you know, that Hail Mary drive was a little embarrassing. But the overall, they played quite solid last night, and they're on the upswing. They were in the bottom five defenses for me through 8 weeks of the season, and now they're creeping up to about 21. So that's a pretty substantial improvement over just 3-4 games. And you know, it's worth noting as we talk about the top five, I have the Saints at number 7 right now. That's with about a one standard deviation reduction in their offensive, you know, passing offense specifically, because they have Taysom Hill on the field instead of Drew Brees. If you replace my rankings with Taysom Hill and Drew Brees, you flip flop them. New Orleans is third, almost second. And, you know, in the same sort of sentences, we were talking about how Seattle's defense is on the upswing. New Orleans defense over the last 5 games is number one in the NFL, better than the Rams, better than the Steelers. It's really impressive what they've done, given how poor they look to start the season.
I'd like to say this is the last thing I'll ask about week 12 before we get to week 13, but don't hold me to that. But I think it will be. I asked you this last time about week 11, but what is the single most surprising performance you saw this past week? And I'll give you some options. Was it the Raiders getting absolutely smashed by the Falcons? Was it Tampa Bay making it close with Kansas City? Was it the Rams just, you know, there's a group of team, the Rams and the Raiders among them, Arizona too. I'll make this a double one. The Cardinals and the Rams just kind of showing up some weeks and not others. Those are your choices. Maybe it's something else.
Okay. So I'll say the Raiders spot was horrific.
Yeah.
You know, coming off of a primetime game against your rival where you have victory and you let it slip through your fingers. Now go across country. You're a 3-point road favorite. That was an awful spot for them. And they were due for just a total and complete clunker. But they had the worst performance of the week by far. And it was the second worst performance that I have all season. The only worst being Tampa Bay on Sunday Night Football against the Saints when they lost, you know, 1-3. So it wasn't surprising, but that was the most uncharacteristic in terms of what we know the team to be. The Rams, again, similarly, not especially surprising for whatever reason. McVay does not have the answer for the Robert Saleh defense. He does not have the right mix of protections. He doesn't know exactly how to get Jared Goff comfortable in the pocket in those games against the Niners. And so that looked familiar. Like, I feel like I've seen that game before. So that wasn't especially surprising. I'll go with the most surprising thing was that the NFL made the Denver Broncos play on Sunday.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. We learned on Saturday night that the entire quarterback room was exempt from that game. And rather than give them any leeway, any relief at all, they forced them to bring up a practice squad player who had never taken an NFL snap at quarterback with 6 hours of prep, basically. That was an embarrassing game, an embarrassing performance, you know, and the NFL made it so, right? You know, they dictated that was going to happen. And I don't know that. I understand specifically the motivations of completing the schedule without, you know, giving some relief here and there. I mean, if that's going to be their hard line in the sand, and if they're going to play the games that we're seeing them play with this Pittsburgh, Baltimore, you know, juggling the schedule around and moving it just enough that it puts players' health and safety a little at risk, but not so much that they're going to strike. And you know, rather than just extend the season a couple of weeks and be, you know, be prepared with more flexibility and more options. You know, I know that you want to be as fair as possible to the teams that are in the true championship hunt this season. But the most surprising thing was for sure that they played that game in Denver.
It's a fascinating thing to talk about. Like with everything, it's not black and white, right? So Mark Schlereth, who won a couple Super Bowls with the Broncos, also with Washington. He goes, it was in the protocol. Broncos' own fault. This is why it happened. It is exactly in the rules of the protocol. Are they making an example of the Broncos? Yeah. But both things are true. Or as Adam Schefter said, and this is the very first thing I said about it, which is the NFL stated in those rules from the beginning of the season that they weren't going to do anything based on competitive advantage in the year of the pandemic. And so they're not concerned with that at all. Now, you can, you know, people have their theories. Would it have happened to a more marquee team or not? And you're not going to talk people off that position. If they believe that, they believe that. But it is, I do agree with what you're saying. So in other words, I think the NFL had its basis for doing that on the one hand. On the other hand, it's like Chrissy and I were talking about on Monday on Guessing Lines. Does it make for a ridiculous product that day? Absolutely as well, right? Like, I mean, that was like watching 1950s football, and that was the free bingo square, as I said, in Survivor for people in the end. But I don't think, you know, I think secondarily to people who, to the decision was the issue of whether, I shouldn't say it that way, I was going to bring it back to Survivor, but the notion that they didn't postpone it. What people are having trouble with the fact that the Ravens have gotten postponed multiple times, right, and that the Broncos didn't. But the Broncos thing is just like Big Ben going into reserve COVID-19 protocol and Matt Stafford doing it and then getting the 5 negatives so that they could play. It's just the Broncos happened right before the game. People just have trouble with the fact that, well, why did the Ravens get postponed? And what the NFL is doing there, I must admit, is a bit of a vaguer line, which is, well, with those teams, it's an outbreak. And so it's not contained. These are the Roethlisberger, Stafford, and Broncos situations are contained, and therefore we go to that reserve COVID-19 list. But those rules have kind of been different all the way along, but you kind of do have to follow them.
Yeah, no, and you're right. It does feel like they tried to make an example out of the Broncos here, but the NFL also had a lot of opportunities way earlier this season to make an example, and they let the Tennessee Titans off the hook, you know, for what, a week and a half. Late in that week, we found out they were practicing outside of protocol, and they still didn't really face any consequences from that outside of whatever fines and, you know, maybe draft picks get levied at some point, or maybe even not even. So, you know, I feel like they really could have made a statement at that point early in the season and really sent a strong message that, you know, this is the way we're going to handle this. But it does, because they're sort of, you know, doing two parallel things at the same time with the Broncos, you know, with the, what they did to the Broncos and what they're doing with the Ravens, it certainly creates, you know, this impression, right or wrong,
yes,
that they're kind of doing it on the fly. They're making up the rules as they go.
That, like, I will agree
with.
It's
tough not to conclude that.
They are, they're certainly creating that impression, even though it's actually not based in the fact of what they're doing, right? They can lean on what they've said and make logic out of it. But yes, it certainly gives the impression, and it allows for people on sports radio to go nuts about it. But, you know, in the end, it was the Broncos' fault. And I think that's the key point, right? It was their fault. Yeah. And they admitted the NFL was like, oh, we're making an example of this for sure.
And we knew it was going to happen to some team eventually. We just all assumed it was going to be the Jets.
Yep. Speaking of Survivor, which I mentioned moments ago, this week there are a ton of massive favorites in the NFL. And on the podcast, which you've been kind enough to come on, the Beating the Book Megapod, we talk about what's the big favorite that you think is the most likely to lose outright. And I will ask that question of you, and people can apply this to Survivor as well. And we'll do them from biggest to smallest over a touchdown. But Kansas City is a 2-touchdown favorite against Denver. Some people have Kansas City available, some don't. Kansas City, 2-touchdown favorite against Denver. Pittsburgh, 10.5, 10-point favorites against Washington, which is scheduled now for Monday night. Oh, I skipped Miami, now 11-point favorites, pardon me, at home against Cincinnati. Minnesota is a 9-point favorite against Jacksonville. Green Bay is a 9-point favorite against Philadelphia. I mean, these are endless. Seattle, 7.5. Favorite, 7.5-point favorites against the Giants. Las Vegas, 7.5-point favorites at the Jets. All right. That's a bunch of them. That is a bunch of them for 1 week.
The money line parlay liabilities this week are going to be wild.
Someone's losing, right? It's a minefield.
Yeah.
I don't know. This year, by the way, no one ends up losing. I say that, but it's like this year, you never see a big upset. It just doesn't seem that way.
So you're saying we're due.
I'm saying we're due. Of all of these, Drew, What's the team of those favorites most likely to lose outright?
There's a bunch I don't trust in that list.
Me,
Miami,
too.
I don't think you can trust. The way their offense is playing is quite poor. They should have absolutely throttled the Jets, and that game was in the balance late. I actually don't even really trust Kansas City. I don't think they're going to lose outright, but I'm probably going to take the points with Denver. 14 is too many there. Denver's defense is good enough, and they were embarrassed the first time they played, and Kansas City's been playing down to their opponents when they have these massive spreads. So that's probably a decent shot to take the points. I do trust Las Vegas. I think you get a very solid bounce back performance out of Las Vegas Raiders.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that line is about 3 points. Now it's ticking up to 8. That's about 2 points too short for my money. Minnesota. Mike Glennon sure as heck was frisky against that Cleveland Browns team. He's going to get a full week of practice with the wide receiver 1 and 2 now for the Jaguars, and that might be an even more dynamic offense. I think that over is in play, but I wouldn't trust Minnesota the way that they've shown their defense to just kind of melt at times this season. I think the Seattle one's interesting. Green Bay is interesting, both right around a touchdown. And I guess Seattle probably would be the one I would lean to, even though we always make a point that they tend to win ugly. I'm not a Colt McCoy guy.
So between Miami, Seattle, and Minnesota, who do you trust the least to win it outright?
I'm going to say Miami.
Miami hosting the Brandon Allen-led Bengals. Trust the least to win it outright. Interesting. I don't know. Maybe some people listening are in Survivor, Drew, and this is interesting information. I just want to point that out. Maybe there's some people talking to you right now who are in Survivor who are interested in that information. I don't know. We'll come back. I want to ask Drew about what he has bet already in week number 13 of the NFL, what he is thinking about betting. Coming right back, right here, on A Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Numbers Game proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. Also brought to you by the good folks at Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed immediately delivers quality candidates from our resume database when you upgrade your job post. Get started at Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate it. Mike Genitoni. No relation to Mike D'Antoni. Greg, you talk about Greg Peterson, is the Rain Man of college basketball. Qantas, fewest accidents. Matt Russell, thank you in capitals for acknowledging the plight of those of us who strategically saved Pittsburgh and Circus Survivor. You are welcome, Matt. We didn't want anything to do with Washington-Dallas and got stuck with that game. I don't have to tell you how that went. Sorry, Matt. I really do believe the people who strategically saved Pittsburgh, those are the guys that got the shaft. Guys or girls who are in Survivor that got the shaft. Yes, they could have made a correct pick. I get it. Some people are going to be like, they should have still made a good pick. Right, but they planned, and their planning got scuttled because of that postponement. Raj Bhatti, dude, imagine what it's like being Greg Peterson. Not only does he have a girlfriend, in quotes, that gives him pleasure every weeknight and the entire weekend, he can mute her anytime he wants. That's sexist, and that's not nice. But I understand, Raj. Ryan Poor, one of the greatest wagering events of the year is only 14 days away, Gil. If you've never watched or wagered on the William Hill World Championship of Darts, you're missing out. It's a live betting cornucopia of greatness. I'm all in on cornucopias.
Who isn't?
Especially
cornucopias are so festive.
They are. Let's bring in Drew Dinsick. Sorry you had to endure that, Drew. From the Deep Dive podcast with Andy and the Whale.
He's a cornucopia of information.
He is. The other question I asked Drew on the podcast at the end, I always ask final two questions, was what's the big favorite most likely to lose outright? And thank you for answering that. But also, what's the game you want no part of on the spread? So I'll use this opportunity to ask you that question. If you had to bet every single one of these games in week 13, let's say we lived in this bizarro world where I'm like, Drew, put your money down on everything, but you get one free pass, what's the game you'd want no part of?
So there's an easy one. Without question, it is Houston, Indianapolis.
That's for reasons that don't even need to be uttered. Why? Because you just have no, you have no clue what you get with either of those two teams week to week.
Well, that there's competing. There are good reasons to fade both teams.
Yeah.
And I really, when you have that situation, maybe I'm playing the under there. But you know, let's break this one down a little bit here. Houston, they have been amazing resurgence. That was the survivor pick you needed to have saved, by the way, because that was a rocking chair winner on Thanksgiving morning. Nothing more fun than, you know, winning your first bet on Thanksgiving and then the rest of the day is easy street.
I had them.
Good. Yes. Good. Good work. And honestly, their amazing play has nothing to do with scheme, nothing to do with their defense playing better. It's entirely Deshaun Watson is performing out of his mind right now, and a lot of that is because he is amazing when he is passing to when Will Fuller is on the field. His on off when Will Fuller is healthy and playing well versus when he has a limited wide receiving core to throw to is just, it's so stark. It's tough to believe that it's the same quarterback. And Will Fuller obviously popped for PEDs. He will not be out there for this Indianapolis Colts game, yeah. Which puts a ton of pressure on the rest of this wide receiving core. They cut Kenny Stills. Brandon Cook's unlikely to be 100% in this one, even if he goes at all. So you're way down the depth chart here in terms of who's available. This is going to be the Daniel Fells and Kiki Kuti show. This is going to be a very, very tough test because guess what? Houston cannot run the ball. They absolutely cannot do anywhere close to the impression we saw last week where Tennessee got real physical in the absence of DeForest Buckner for Indianapolis. Tennessee just went right up the gut whenever they felt like it, opening enormous holes in that Indianapolis line. And Houston just doesn't have the line play. They don't have the running backs to, you know, really manifest that kind of attack. So it's going to be entirely up to Watson to do the deed. And then you flip the script and the Colts, you know, they missed their center big time last week. Phillip Rivers' performance was awful. And a lot of that was because, you know, the Tennessee Titans, who historically cannot generate a lick of pressure, were getting pressure. Some of that was Kelly's absence at center. Some of it was Costanzo going out at tackle. And Costanzo almost certainly won't be back. Kelly may be available for this game, but those injuries on the offensive line are potentially a huge problem because that's the strength of the entire Colts offense. Colts defense, if they don't have Buckner back, that's a problem. He matters a ton, so this is the easy one to just steer clear of that game or play the under.
Colts favored by 3 at the Texans on the side anyway. That's the game Drew wants no part of. By the way, breaking news, Broncos fans. All 3 of your quarterbacks, Locke, Rippon, and Bortles, that is, have tested negative. They are allowed back to practice tomorrow. Sorry about last week, though. Drew's actual picks next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
If you want to get more from VSiN, be sure to check out our daily podcast. Listen to Best Bets with content from all our shows. Market Insights from Josh Applebaum. Beating the Book with Gil Alexander. Hey, that's me. Or improve your betting IQ with the Everything Guide to Sports Betting. They're free and available everywhere you find podcasts. Visit VSiN.com/podcast today. That's VSiN.com/podcasts. It is Gil Alexander. Jason Kahn is here as well. Drew Dinsick, our guest, kind enough to stick around on a Tuesday. His podcast is called The Deep Dive Podcast with Andy and the Whale, Andy Molitor, and the Whale being Drew himself. You can follow Drew on Twitter at @whale_capper. And of course, Drew writes for VSiN in Point Spread Weekly every single week. Part of the VSiN family as well. All right, Drew, with your brand new home studio, which is looking good, what have you bet already in week 13, sir? Do we have Drew?
Yeah, let's put a bow on a couple of points that you brought up in the last two segments.
Please.
First, going back to Survivor,
mm-hmm.
Wait as long as humanly possible to put your pick in this week.
Humanly, yes.
There's going to be chaos
well,
this week.
That's what I said it last week, even before the shenanigans of this past weekend. we've gotten far enough now in Survivor where the COVID news is as big of an obstacle as you just winning the game you picked. You got it's a minefield.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of, you know, we brought up some of the options. I don't think you can realistically consider Pittsburgh this week because who knows if they play that game. There's an entirely possible that some of these games could get postponed, could get canceled. The fact that we're coming off of a holiday weekend and there's a lot of reports out of, player families and what they did over the holiday, in terms of, travel and mixing and things like that. So I think we're in for a rough couple of weeks here. Yeah. And I think it's important to wait as long as possible so you don't end up holding a ticket on a team that doesn't actually play their game.
And specifically,
that's an automatic elimination, right?
Yeah. And thank you. Thank you, Beyonce. Always appreciate it. Kelly Rowland. Who was the third? Michelle Williams? Was it she or there? You're right about Pittsburgh, too, because they're a Monday night game. So I think the rule in Circus Survivor is Tuesday at 2 a.m. There's no place to postpone that back to.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. And if I was the Steelers and I'm playing on Wednesday and I'm dealing with any kind of a COVID outbreak or any kind of a problem with my team, I'm putting pressure on the league to give me some relief. I'm not trying to run it back on Monday and put my guys' health at risk for the long run here because they are in the driver's seat for the one seed in the AFC, which is massive this year. So it's going to be dicey to see how the league handles things this week, especially. So I think it's important to wait as long as possible with Survivor and in the same breath, what game do you want no part of? I think you realistically have to be a little bit more conservative this week, in terms of painting the board. If you bet Denver last week and you got a good number early in the week, that went up in smoke in the matter of 5 minutes. You had no opportunity to get off of that. And they play the game as scheduled. So, those bets were live. If you had New Orleans -6, congratulations, you stumbled your way into an amazing bet.
Yeah.
But it's, that kind of roulette sort of, Russian roulette sort of feel to, the way that the NFL is going to go down for the next couple of weeks, I think is real. So I'm for sure going to be treading lightly this week. That said, here's five picks I love.
that said, here's a handful of them.
We mentioned a couple of them already, and I'll just kind of go back and recap. I think the Las Vegas Raiders get right against the Jets. I had Miami last week, and it was a fun ride, I guess. Realistically, they should have won by well more than, the margin should have been wider for most of that game. But sure enough, it came down to kind of some fourth quarter key defensive stops for the Dolphins because their offense just isn't, clicking right now. Las Vegas, on the other hand, this offense is capable of putting up 50 points on the Jets. And the Jets, it is not going well. It is a complete mess in terms of who's coordinating this offense, what they're trying to do, what their identity even is. If you're relying on Frank Gore to sustain drives in the year 2020 of the NFL, I have bad news for you. You're in deep trouble. Vegas Raiders were an embarrassment early on the West, going west to east against the Falcons as favorites last week. That's the kind of wake up call they need to, I think, get a very clean performance, especially offensively. I think the Raiders get comfortably into the 30s in this game, and I just can't see the Jets getting past 20 points even on a good day. So I'm laying the points with the Raiders. Maybe no better feeling also in football betting than betting against the Jets and watching the game and just rooting for them to make a mistake because it's coming.
Great teaser leg right there.
Great teaser leg. Yeah. Yes. Not a number value play here for me, but I got a good number early in the week on the Rams against the Arizona Cardinals. You make adjustments every week to your numbers, and you adjust teams up and down based on the new data you have from the prior week. We're in the time of the season where every week the three teams that get the biggest downgrades based on their past week's performance, the market is overreacting the following week in terms of making a fair price. And the Raiders are one of those teams this week. The Rams are one of those teams this week. And I think the fact that they're going up against an Arizona Cardinals team who has a problem in that they cannot attack you downfield the way Kyler Murray is currently dealing with a shoulder injury. They have taken some of the design run plays out of the playbook, which is what got them to being such a dynamic offense in the first place. And they have consistently struggled against the Rams defense to really, you know, do much offensively. Basically the entire Sean McVay era, the Rams have dominated the Cardinals. I think McVay is something like 6-0 all time against the Cardinals, and you know, on average winning by over 10 points. So he has the right scheme to really take advantage of what the Cardinals are trying to do both offensively and defensively. And so I laid the 2.5 early in the week. I'm seeing threes across the board right now. I think that's still a bettable price. I would guess that this closes 3.5. Especially if news trickles out this week that Kyler Murray is missing practice again, because clearly it didn't look to me like he was really capable of using his full set of weapons against the Patriots on
Sunday.
That's
the issue. Yeah, I agree.
And Rams, you know, that offense can do great things. And this is a good get right spot for them. So I played the Rams. I had mentioned also, I'm looking at a good price here on Denver. I don't think this is going back in their direction, so there's really no rush to get this bet down. It's currently minus 14. I guess I can get pretty close to a flat 14, but I'm going to wait and see if more Kansas City money comes in. Because again, you know, Kansas City tends to play down to their opponents. They had a very weird result earlier this season when Denver and Kansas City played in Denver. And I think that's skewing the market perception here a little bit. Kansas City has a lot more important games on the schedule coming up. So I'll take the points with Denver.
Okay. Drew, you want to stick around and give your two other picks after the break? Or you want to slip them in right here? Your choice.
I took two overs. We mentioned it, Minnesota and Jacksonville, over 50. That's over 50, 51.5 right now is available. I still play that. And New England Chargers, over 47.
All right. Drew Densick, Whale Capper, at Whale_Capper. Thank you, sir, as always.
Hey, best of luck, man.
Coming back, season win totals updates right here on the Numbers Game at VSiN, the Esports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Celebrate the holiday season at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. With a risk-free first bet up to $500, simply sign up and use bonus code VSIN500. To take advantage of the offer, bet with confidence at BetMGM. Download the app today and use bonus code VSIN500 to get back up to $500 on your first wager. Happy holidays from BetMGM. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, Tennessee, and West Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. In Tennessee, call or text the red line at 800-889-9789. And if you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in the state of Nevada. By the way, Jason, can we bookmark what I said earlier? It was like a sort of throwaway comment I made with Pete Futak, but I am curious, since BetMGM is the sponsor of the show, why they put up betting markets in certain jurisdictions but not in others. So I was saying, in the context of the Big Ten championship, they had it in Jersey and I believe in Tennessee, but they certainly don't have it here in Nevada. And we've run into that a few times, so I'm going to mark that down. I think Matt Brown told me that they might do a piece on that at Legal Sports Report. But I would be very curious.
I think we can ask that question to the appropriate people.
I think we know some people.
Let me see what I can do.
I think that would be one little phone call.
I will, or an email,
or a text.
Yes, technology,
or a fax, maybe a telex.
Yeah, might be a telegram.
That's right, Pony Express. All right. By the way, if there was a Survivor. That was an interesting Survivor piece there with Drew moments ago. And thanks to Drew Densick. He always stays with us for so long on Tuesdays. Deep Dive podcast, and of course, right here for VSiN. But of all those big favorites, and there are a ton of them this week in the NFL, for folks who are still in their local Survivor pools or in Circa Survivor, where there's 103 entries left out of a total 1,390. And remember, if it was a chop right now, of 100, not right now, but if these 103, let's say these 103 went coast to coast, let's say they got through week 17, which is the 18th week, pardon me. if it, all 103 won out, every one of them is worth $23,000+ in a chop because Derek Stevens adds a million if people go coast to coast. And it's just over 100, so it's easy math. But, you know, between now and then, 103 aren't going to get there.
We're going to lose a lot this weekend. I think a lot of people go down this weekend.
I thought we'd lose a lot this past Sunday. You did not.
I did not. I texted you to that effect. I didn't think that very many teams were going to go down.
But the Giants almost went down. The Browns almost went down.
Yeah, three of them almost.
Not almost. I mean, Giants, Browns, and who else? Vikings. The only one person picked the Vikings. Really, and the Rams did, but really it was the Giants and the Browns, which were the two most heavily selected.
Yeah, they didn't cover, but they won Survivor.
So Drew said Miami was the one he trusted the least this week. Now, again, some people have team, you know, some, that's the thing with all of this. Everybody's got certain teams available and others not. So that's why I said last week when people were like, I can't believe 10 people picked New Orleans. You have no idea what their circumstance was. You have no idea what their thinking was. It was actually pretty sound thinking, one would have to assume.
And the timing on that was that anybody who picked the Saints would not have had that quarterback locker room COVID news.
And even if they did, though, would they have changed it? That's the thing, because you don't know who they had available to them. If it was a binary choice, if it was a choice between the Saints and the Giants in the end, let's say they had nobody else available, would they have gone with the Giants? Only 35. Everybody had the Giants available to them. Only 1 in 3 people picked the Giants.
I think the Saints ended up being the
bingo square,
the best
three bet. Bingo square.
Well, yeah, but even of the whole season, that was the single best bet of the year so far.
By the way, yesterday I said on the show too that the greatest bet of the entire football season, the easiest bet, was the Saints at -1,000
pre-flop. Spread.
But you know what? I mean, that's also not an accurate comment because it should have been 7-0 going into the locker room at halftime. I mean, it ends up looking easy, but it wasn't exactly the easiest thing for a half.
I think that was partially by design. I think Sean Payton probably just wanted to keep things as simple as possible, especially in the first half.
Oh, he certainly did.
Let's see what we can. I think Taysom Hill was kept under wraps intentionally.
In fact, when he threw his one interception, you could tell Payton at that point was like, "Okay, that's that. No more of that. We're certainly not going to lose this." By doing that.
If they go 14-2, I think he's got to be considered in the conversation for coach of the year.
God, it's so tough though. If the Steelers go undefeated, no.
Well, I think it's a foregone conclusion if the Steelers go undefeated.
If the Dolphins win their division, no.
I don't think that's going to happen.
But I'm saying there's a lot of ways he won't.
Yeah, but I don't think the Dolphins winning the division is going to be one of them.
Oh, I do. If the Dolphins win the AFC East, Brian Flores is your coach of the year over Peyton, unless Tomlin goes undefeated. That'd be my call.
I think maybe if Tua had been, you know, everything anticipated, but I think since the Tua thing didn't quite work out.
Jason, if the Dolphins win the AFC East, I have them at +1150 before the season to win the division. I mean, again, they don't care about betting markets. They should. But that's a monster coaching job.
How many games would Mike Tomlin have to lose? How many games would the Steelers have to lose for that to come into play for the Dolphins?
Just one.
I
think Tomlin goes undefeated. It's his, especially with all the shenanigans that have happened to the Steelers.
But what if he has one loss?
If he has one loss, it's a different calculus.
Yeah.
It's a different calculus. I just think Andy Reid can't do anything to win it almost, right?
That's really, that's surprising almost. He just feels overlooked.
He's like we talk about this with LeBron and NBA MVP. Mahomes will eventually get there with NFL MVP. Like, it's just like, well, I can give it to this guy every year, but.
It's like Belichick 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Been him every year too.
Remember, these are humans voting on these. That's you're handicapping humans. Ben Fox, who works here at VSiN, posted this yesterday. I do this in baseball all the time, and I never do it in football for whatever reason, but Ben did it in football, and so let's get on with it. I always, like at the end of the baseball season, I go through the 30 teams in the closing weeks. Here's who's already clinched their over, here's who's got their under, here's who's still on the fence. And a 162-game baseball season, invariably, two or three teams comes down to the final series of the year against whoever they're playing that last weekend. Well, here are the six teams. Good job by Ben Fawkes doing this. You can follow Ben at BFawkes, F-A-W-K-E-S 22 on Twitter. Good job for him with these six. These are the NFL teams that have already clinched their season win totals bets. Niners under 10.5. That one's kind of sad because the Niners, there's no shame in that. They were just,
but also kind of predictable if the team, you know, that lost the Super Bowl.
Dude, I don't, they're 5-6 and they've been a mash unit. I mean, it's not that hard to think that they could have gone over this, though. I don't know if it's predictable. I know there's a hangover when you lose the Super Bowl, but I mean, they couldn't have gotten dealt worse cards this year.
And they were in the hardest division too.
Yeah, I mean that's brutal for them. For over betters on the Niners, you had no shot at this. Cowboys under 10 clinched already.
Everybody had the Cowboys winning the Super Bowl and going over, and that would, they were like one of the hottest teams. There were a lot of people predicting Cowboys success this year.
Steelers over 9.5 already clinched. Eagles under 9.5 already clinched. So Steelers over 9.5, Eagles under 9.5. There's your Pennsylvania duo. Jets under 6.5. Well, we don't have to go further about that. And then only one of two season win totals bets that I made, Dolphins over 6, clinched already. All right, now I went ahead and did it one step further and said, all right, which are the teams in the NFL that can clinch it this weekend, beyond those six teams that Ben Fox put out there? Which are the other teams in the NFL that can actually clinch their season win total this weekend? And they are as follows. Let me get to them right here. Do we have a graphic for it? We do. How about that? All right, and their grand total of 8 of these teams, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, 5 of them can clinch their season win totals outright this week. If Baltimore loses to Pittsburgh tomorrow, they're under 11.5 clinches. Remember, Baltimore and Kansas City had the highest season win totals. Both had 11.5. So if the game gets played tomorrow and Baltimore loses, they've clinched their under. If Green Bay beats Philadelphia this weekend, and they're big favorites, they clinch their over 8.5. Now, the Cleveland-Tennessee game, that's going to clinch something for somebody, unless it's a tie. But if Cleveland beats Tennessee, they clinch their over 8.5. And if Tennessee beats Cleveland, they clinch their over 8.5. And then the last one is that if the Chargers lose to New England, they clinch their under 8. Now, these are the ones that will clinch a push in one direction or the other. If Buffalo beats San Francisco, they will get their 9th win, and that will be a minimum of a push for overs. Unders will be in trouble at that point. If Minnesota loses to Jacksonville, and they're big favorites, then they'll already be at 9 losses. No, pardon me, that's wrong.
At the max.
They will maximum be able to win 9 games at that point. So that would be the opposite of Buffalo. Minnesota would have to win out to even get a push. That's also the case with New England. If they lose to the Chargers, the most wins they can get is 9. That's where their season win total ended up. By the way, I got the under 9.5. So if they lose, I'm actually a winner on that one, my other season win total bet. Remember, there was that morning this summer where all the opt-outs happened, and I wanted to mention at the end of one show, I'm going to get the under 9.5, and I was so bitter that day that I didn't mention it. And by the next day, it was still at 9.5. I was incredulous. So I came on a numbers game. I'm like, bet the under 9.5. But for most people, that would be a push minimum if New England loses the Chargers. And the last one, if Washington somehow beats Pittsburgh, I know. But I'm just talking about this weekend's games. That would be a minimum push for their over bettors, because that would be Washington's 5th win, and they ended up with 5 on a season win total. So again, 6 have already clinched. 5 more teams have a chance to be winners this weekend as well. Baltimore, Green Bay, Cleveland, Tennessee, and the Chargers. Buffalo, Minnesota, New England, or Washington are in a push at best situations, either to the over, to the under. That's just this week. Of course, they'll all be settled by the end of the season. We hope the season goes as scheduled from here on out. Hopefully football tomorrow afternoon. Lunch with the Steelers and the Ravens. We shall see. Good luck with everything you bet in college basketball today from all of us at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.